live from the Hot Stove Lounge. The Flames Talk postgame show starts now on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Okay, let's get our Flames Talk postgame show underway right now. It's Pat Steinberg along with you following the preseason finale. Flames fall 3-2 to the Winnipeg Jets here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. It's time to go from the Flames dressing room to kick it off. Brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. And from the Flames dressing room right now, we've got Flames forward Anthony Mantha standing by with us. Anthony, really appreciate the time. Just how did you see that game tonight? How would you look back on this one this evening?
I think it was maybe a slow start for our team. Execution was a little slow, but we kind of knew coming after a down 2-0 that we had to step up. And if we play the way we played in third, I think good things are going to happen this year.
Anthony, as a veteran in this league, what was important for you in this last preseason game? What were some of the things you were looking to accomplish?
I needed a better game in general. I mean, the first game you play is kind of get the rust off. Then you're traveling game day. It's not the same as during the season when you go on the road. And today was just back to routine and back to normal hockey for us. So I needed to play good, and I think I did just that.
How would you evaluate training camp in the preseason as a whole? How do you feel about how things have gone for you and the group, Anthony?
It's been good. Obviously, there's a lot of new faces in the locker room and guys that need to get used to playing this style of play, and I think it's been good so far.
What's your overall comfort level as you've spent now the last few weeks here getting to know everybody? How much more comfortable do you feel now than when you first walked into that locker room?
Feels good. Obviously, the guys are great. The coaching staff made me feel at home, and it's been going good, and I'm excited to get it going on Wednesday.
And a final thought for you as you look ahead to Wednesday, just the overall vibe in the room and the excitement to get things going. How would you describe how things are feeling inside that room going into Wednesday night?
I think we feel good. Obviously, it's been a hard camp. Everyone's been executing really well, and now we have 2 days off here and regroup and get back at it Monday for practice, and season's going to start real quick.
Anthony, really appreciate the time. Thank you so much for doing this, and good luck on Wednesday to open the regular season, hey?
Thank you very much.
That is Anthony Mantha. That is from the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Our Flames Talk postgame show is underway. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's Pat Steinberg around the table with Megan Mickelson and Derek Wills. We'll be joined by Flames assistant coach Brad Larson. We'll hear from head coach Ryan Huska. Some looks inside the locker room and a whole lot more. Phone lines are open, 403-240-4444. Text line open at 960-960. Lots to get to in the preseason finale, though, friends. And Mick, they were looking to ramp things up. The Flames were hoping to use this game with, like, I don't know, 97% of their opening night lineup. They were looking to use this as a way to springboard them into the regular season on Wednesday. What'd you make of the game, the 60 minutes, the pace, and all of that stuff?
Yeah, I liked their start. I thought they came out really strong and, you know, took control of the game early on. And then overall, the next, I don't know, I would say the middle 30-ish minutes of the game, they kind of let their foot off the gas a little bit and then turned it on in the third period. Thought that that was their strongest period. Obviously had the most shots, played with a ton of pace, did a great job of getting shots through from the point, traffic, were very good on their board battles, 50-50 pucks. Thought that that was really strong. But the opportunities that they gave up, in my mind, were too high danger. Opportunities you can't give up and expect your goaltender to make a save every single time. I thought Dan Vladar made some really, really good saves. That's a strong takeaway from this game as well. Just the play from Dan Vladar. I thought that he was really, really good. I like the way that they came out in the third and knowing, and you wonder what the messaging was in between periods of, you want to end the preseason and this game the way you're going to start the regular season and the first game next Wednesday. So I thought that they showed a lot of promise in that regard.
I actually think they played a pretty good hockey game tonight. They were a lot more buckled down defensively than at any other point in the preseason. And to your point, Mick, when they did make a mistake and give up a chance, too many grade A chances against. But, I mean, you look at the shots on goal in this game. 7-7 in the first, 6-6 in the second, 20-4 Flames in the third. And they scored two goals, and the Jets, who had a two-goal lead, get to the one they needed to win this hockey game. But, you know, defensively, other than those handful of big mistakes, I like the Flames pretty much from start to finish in this game. Offensively, I thought they came alive in the third period, played with more desperation, played with more pace, had more of a shooting mentality. One thing that was great for me to see, and you mentioned it on the broadcast as well, Rasmus Anderson with 7 shots on goal and 12 attempts. That is a great sign. He's a guy who they've been begging to shoot the puck more for years. Hopefully that's a sign of things to come in the regular season. I know they didn't win the hockey game, but wins and losses don't really matter in the preseason. It's all about getting ready for the regular season. And I thought the team took another step in the right direction tonight.
And to Mick's point, high dangers were 9-5 Winnipeg at 5-on-5, 10-7 overall. So despite the, even in that third period, was only 3-2 high dangers Calgary. So shot it a lot. And I did notice the Rasmus Anderson thing that was very noticeable as the night went along. That very much stood out. Rasmus Anderson, Kevin Ball playing as a pairing for the first time in this game tonight. It's Steinberg, Derek Wills, Megan Mickelson around the table as a 3-2 final score. Flames fall to the Winnipeg Jets here at the Scotiabank Saddledome, and about to be joined for the first time on our post game show by Brad Larson, who is sitting down with us right now, the newest member of the Flames coaching staff. Brad Larson joins us here in the Hot Stove Lounge. It's Flames Talk postgame. Pat, Megan, Derek, Brad, thanks for doing this. Appreciate you joining us. How would you evaluate the final preseason game of 2024?
Well, lots to like about it other than the result, right? I think, I mean, what we gave up was very minimal, and I think that's a style we're going to have to play this year to stay in games. Real good push in the third. We got back there and we pressed right to the end. So just a missed assignment on their third goal. We want that one back. But I think overall, when you look how we finish against the opponent we played, I think it was a good kind of a good blueprint for moving forward.
Yeah, and talk about that push in the third. A lot of point shots. I think we saw one guy, we saw a number from his Rasmus Anderson, but has that been an area of focus for your group in generating offense, is just getting pucks through from the point and then having those flash screens and net front presence?
Yeah, you saw this preseason, we had a lot of success doing that, and you know, usually you use the shot to break teams down. If you're not shooting the puck, you're staying on the outside, it's really hard to generate anything. So you know, for us, getting that low to high, pulling the third guy, but then having layers going to the net, I think it's been very successful for us. And in the third, you saw it a lot. You know, just more direct, getting things there and getting traffic. And you know, usually when you've got guys going to the net, you're bringing bodies with you. So it creates more traffic for their goalie.
Brad, I've got to ask you about the teenager. Sam Honzek has been the talk of the town with the way he's played in the preseason. He gets a 6th preseason game tonight and a tough test against the Jets team that finished 4th overall last season. What did you think of number 42 tonight?
Yeah, good, solid game again. I mean, and this was kind of a show-me game against a really good lineup, you know, because he keep on that pace that he has. He's had 5 good games that we feel, and he's got pace to his game. He has some poise to his game. I feel like just all camp, he's been growing. And to come in again against a really good lineup, did he look out of place? Not at all. I think what I like about him is he's not shy to go to the hard areas. He's a very strong, powerful skater, and he makes plays under pressure. And tonight was a good kind of barometer for him to see, can he do it against a full lineup? Right, this is one of the first times we saw a full lineup like this, so he showed well again tonight.
We're chatting with Brad Larson, who is Flames assistant coach, joining us here following a 3-2 loss to the Jets in the preseason finale. First opportunity, I know Coach Huska talked this morning about it'll be nice to get an opportunity to see Ball and Anderson play together as a pairing. What'd you make of those two in their first game together?
Yeah, lots to like there too. You know, Butler missed a little bit of time early in camp, so we weren't sure. Got into these last few games, which I think was very important for him. And then, you know, you don't know what the chemistry is going to be between him and Andy. And I think tonight you saw, you know, I can speak just from the penalty kill. I really like what I saw there. He's a very rangy guy. He gets the pucks that most guys don't because of the length of his stick in his body, and he moves really well. I think he passes really well. He sees the game. So I think between the two of them, and it's going to take some time. It's just one game where they've kind of played together, and they'll have that feeling out process. But tonight's a really good, if that's a snapshot of what we get to see moving forward, it's exciting.
Well, and you're in charge of the penalty kill. Only saw two penalties to kill tonight, which is
always a good night. Always yes. a good thing. That's a good night. Yes, makes me smile.
A couple things that I've noticed in the preseason, just some changes to the forecheck and switching to more of a 1-3 in the neutral zone and that forward sagging back. And then something I saw tonight was more aggressive pressure. I guess, what have your thoughts been in the game tonight with the two penalties, but also in the preseason in general with the penalty kill?
Pretty good. Yeah, I think the biggest thing is the mindset, how we want to do things, and aggressive is definitely in our mindset, you know, looking for that next opportunity to pressure, you know, that structure versus pressure type mentality. We're using structure to get to the next opportunity to pressure, and I think they've been building. And again, we haven't had a lot of full rosters playing together. A lot of times in practice you're working on power play, and a lot of those penalty kill guys are on the power play. So, you know, tonight was nice to get some reps and see, you know, it was a good test too, because going into Winnipeg, they were very dangerous in their building, ran a lot of low plays and bumping into the bumper and through our crease. So, again, it was just, okay, how do we adjust to that and what are we going to do? And I thought the guys responded really well tonight.
Now, let me ask you about the other side of special teams. I know that you're not in charge of it, but the power play goes 0-for-5 tonight. But you haven't had your full power play units in any preseason game. So we'll obviously cut you some slack with those statistics. But what do you want to see from the power play this season? Because I know you weren't here, but it was an Achilles heel for this club last season. What do you guys have to do to score some more power play goals? And that'll obviously help you win some more hockey games as well.
Yeah, I think special teams is going to be important, like every group. So the power play, you know, from what I know from last year, is they had a real great finish. I think their last 12 or 13 games, they were near the top of the league, or if not the top of the league in what they did. So the luxury you have is you have all those five guys back. And so they built some chemistry there. And I think that's really important going into this season. Now, you had some guys miss some time in camp, and they weren't, you know, didn't get the reps. And that's just how camp goes sometimes. But I think with them, I think there's an excitement and a danger to that group. You can see them starting to feed them. I really liked their first power play. I thought we generated some good chances. We didn't get anything. You know, the reality of a penalty or a power play is, you know, even if you run at 30%, which would be a crazy number, you fail 7 out of 10 times. So you have to learn to refresh your mind, like let things go and reset. And I think that's real important, because sometimes the timing of the goal is more important than really the percentage at in a certain part of the season. So, and you saw last year when that group was together, there was something special there. You know, Kuzi coming in and what he does below the goal line, he's a very strong guy, good shot, and they built some chemistry. So I think this year, you know, you get one, all of a sudden one turns to three, and they get on a little bit of a roll, and I think that's going to be important for us this year.
Last one for you, Brad. I'm just curious as to how you're feeling. You know, new coaching staff and you jump in with some new faces. How's it been? How has it been getting to know and work your way into this coaching staff?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. You know, I was in one organization for 13 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I kind of worked my way through the minors as assistant head, then assistant and head. So you had the luxury of moving with the players, and you had that knowledge. Coming here, the only guy I knew was Jake Bean, so I coached him. So it was really just fresh eyes, and I wanted to just watch them. And that's, I used camp, but that was my opportunity to watch them in preseason to really just get a feel of how they move and how they compete and how they practice. So after a few weeks now, you're starting to get a pretty good idea of where everybody's at, and now I'm getting real excited to dig into the regular season.
Appreciate the time. Thank you for doing this, and good luck this regular season. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
That is Brad Larson, Flames assistant coach, joining us here in the Hot Stove Lounge following a 3-2 Flames loss to the Winnipeg Jets to wrap up the 2024 preseason. 8 down, none to go. Now all eyes on the regular season for 24-25. This is your Flames Talk post-game show. Thanks to Brad, alongside Megan Mickelson and Derek Wills. My name is Pat Steinberg. Let's dive in on tonight's marquee matchup, brought to you by Country Hills Toyota, and our marquee matchup in the pregame show was one last preseason spin for Sam Hanzek. He played on the line with Connor Zary and Michael Backlund tonight, trying to make his NHL debut and make an NHL team for the first time. Toughest test yet. We heard it on the coaches show and the pregame show with Ryan Huska. Going to see the toughest opposition yet in a preseason game. What do we make of Sam Hanzek tonight?
I like how Brad Larson put it. He didn't look out of place.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I would describe him. And he did pop for me a couple of occasions, not so much offensively, but we knew that was going to be tough in a game against a really good Jets team and one of the best goaltenders, maybe the best goaltender in the game, and Connor Hellebuck. But three hits. So if he's going to earn a spot on the fourth line, he's going to have to play that brand of hockey. It can't be all about goals, assists, and points. And I haven't looked at the updated numbers, but he came into this game tied for the NHL lead in preseason assists with 5 and points with 7. So he's had a very productive preseason offensively. But he's been about more than just that. It's been the way he's moved. It's been his compete level. It's been his willingness to get into battles for pucks along the boards, sometimes even against players who are bigger than he is, and he's got good size. So for me, another check mark for Sam Hanzek tonight. Thought he looked good against what was one of the top teams in the NHL last season. Didn't look out of place. Had a few moments where he popped in a positive way. And I think he did tonight what he's really done in all 6 preseason games that he played in. He's continued to make these decisions that Craig Conroy and the management group and Ryan Huska and the coaching staff are going to have to make as far as who's in the lineup next Wednesday night and who's on the roster on Monday when they have to make those final decisions. I think he keeps making those decisions harder for everybody involved, and that's a good thing for him and for the team.
With elite players, for me, like when the level of play rises, you rise with it. And I think that we saw that with Sam Hanzek tonight. That's one thing I was looking for was, you know, the pace, obviously, the lineup that the Jets had. It was next level. So he needed to make sure that he took his game to the next level without trying to do too much and to play the way that he's played over the course of the entire preseason. And so for me, for him to be able to fit in the way that he did and to play the way that he did tonight, it shows you that he elevated his game and he raised the bar for himself. I also really like that he didn't shy away from the physicality.
No.
You know, I was wondering with the Jets lineup if that was something we were going to see. He's been a physical presence out there in the entire preseason, and he was again tonight, so that was really good to see. And I think, you know, when you send players down, you know, a few of the reasons would be, one, to figure out the type of player that they are. We've heard Ryan Huska said that about a number of the players they've sent to the Wranglers. It's go down there and figure out the type of game and that you need to play at the NHL level, figure out the type of player that you are. It's very clear Sam Hanzek knows exactly the type of player that he is and what he needs to do to secure a spot at the NHL level. The other reason why they send them down is to work on, for young players, to figure out the defensive side of the game, their play away from the puck. And that, to me, like I watched him a lot tonight in particular when he didn't have the puck, and he's very good positionally, very good defensively, made some really strong reads as well. So he once again, I mean, he popped for me. He looks like he fits right in. He looks like an NHLer.
That was our marquee matchup. One last preseason spin for Sam Hanzek. I think we're all expecting him to be on the opening roster when it gets announced on Monday. That was our marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. It's time to Toyota at the giant Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Toyota truck clear out is on. Get financing as low as 0% OAC with zero down and no payments until March 2025. Friends, something to watch for. The Flames will not practice on Saturday or Sunday. They'll practice again on Monday, but something to watch for. No update from head coach Ryan Huska, but Yegor Sharangovich left this game in the latter stages of the third period. I am curious as to how that plays itself out, just because, you know, kind of looked like it was a little awkward. So
it grabbed his knee right away.
You don't like to see that, and I know we were a little worried about Dan Vladar after the first period. Now, he played the full 60, so nothing to worry about there. But we were like, oh, he kind of looked a little ginger leaving the ice after 20. But that Sharon Govich thing, that's something to watch for, Mick, going into the regular season, because we know how important he's going to be on this team this year.
And when a player goes down the tunnel right away, too, that's a big
yeah.
red light.
Yeah.
And hopefully he's okay, because he's such a massive part of this team and their offense. And, I mean, you hate to see any injuries at all, but, I mean, I guess that's something we haven't really talked about that much, is we've been so focused on, okay, with all of the players that are here that are healthy, what does the lineup look like? But I think injuries are going to happen. So that's obviously something that the coaching staff, there's something they're paying attention to, is that, you know, if a player's not playing well, if there's injuries, if something happens, who's the next guy up? And that's also what a lot of these guys have been fighting for in the preseason, is even if you don't make the opening night roster, you're fighting for to be the first call up. So, I mean, I really hope Sharon Govich is okay. I have like PTSD from my knee injury. So
bad.
Whenever I see any knee injury, anyone grab their knee, I immediately feel sick to my stomach. So I hope he's okay.
Yeah, and I was worried about Dan Vladar when I saw him kind of pull up a little bit when he was kind of moving laterally across his crease in the first period, and then it looked like he was a little bit uncomfortable heading down the tunnel towards the dressing room through 20 minutes tonight, but he came back and played well. Didn't have a lot of work, but played well in the final 40 minutes, so that certainly was good to see. And you just hope that it's precautionary with Yegor Sharangovich. I mean, it was late in the hockey game. Mm-hmm. If it had happened earlier in the game, he didn't come back, I think that would be more of a red flag for me. So we'll wait and hope to get some good news on that front. He's going to be such an important player this season, as he was last, when he had the best offensive season by a Belarusian in National Hockey League history. You know, he scores 30-plus goals, and they're going to lean heavily on him 5-on-5 and on the power play for sure, and maybe even on the penalty kill again. So fingers crossed for number 17, and hope he's good to go for Wednesday.
Yep, and fingers crossed on that front, because they're going to need him this year, no doubt about it. Okay, one more topic to kick around. Phone lines are open, 403-240-4444. Got a few phone lines open if you want to jump in and chat on our Flames Talk postgame show tonight. Final game of the preseason, so what do you want the roster to look like going into Monday? Monday at 3 p.m. Calgary time is the NHL roster deadline. Text line open at 960-960. Lots to talk about as we move towards the regular season, which opens on Wednesday. The Kevin Ball, two games that we've seen from Kevin Ball, it's looked just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Thought he looked just fine on that pairing with Rasmus Anderson. I heard Mick talk about it upstairs before we started post-game, but kind of the thing that I was interested in was how good a fit would Ball be, knowing that he is kind of a stay-at-home guy. Would that allow Rasmus to be even more comfortable playing with him? Now, it's one game, but so far so good. I was wondering if that would be a good foil for Rasmus, and looked like that tonight anyway.
Yeah, and I was actually pretty impressed by how he played in his preseason debut on Wednesday on the road in Winnipeg against the Jets team that, you know, they dressed, 14 or 15 regulars for that game on Wednesday night. So not an easy first game as a member of the Flames for Kevin Ball after he missed the start of training camp in the preseason with a lower body injury, but really didn't look like he missed a beat on Wednesday. And I was anxious to see him on a top four pairing with Rasmus Anderson tonight. And I thought those two guys complemented each other really well. Not expecting a ton of offense from Kevin Ball, but he did have a shot that led to a goal. He picked up his first unofficial assist as a member of the Flames, getting an assist in this hockey game tonight. And then I think kind of freed up Rasmus Anderson a little bit. We talked about it at the top of the post-game show. 7 shots in 12 attempts for Rasmus Anderson tonight. Listen, they have been begging him for years to shoot the puck more. So I know it's only a preseason game, but 7 shots on goal and 12 attempts, that's great to see from number 4. And if the Flames could settle in on 2 pairings, I think that would be great. And there has been chemistry with Mackenzie Weegar and Daniil Merimanov. So if this pairing of Kevin Ball and Rasmus Anderson works, then it gives you a little bit of flexibility on your third pairing with Jake Bean. Tonight, of course, we saw Braden Pahal, who's had a really good preseason, but I think Tyson Barrie, who just got a contract yesterday, he's going to be in the mix. And Ryan Huska suggested yesterday that there might be a rotation depending on opponents with that third pairing. So the Flames, I know they lost two of their best defensemen, you might argue, their best two defensemen, certainly their best defensive defenseman in Chris Tanev, and another fantastic defenseman in Noah Hanifin. But they've got a lot of depth at that position. And Ball, as a 24-year-old and is just his second full season as an NHLer, looks like a good grab in that Jacob Markstrom deal with the Devils.
Yeah, two games he's played, like you said, Wilsey, but I'm a gigantic fan as of this moment. He was solid, reliable, has a really good reach and rangy, like Brad was saying. So I think there's a lot there. It's a great pickup and a lot of chemistry too, I thought, with Rasmus Anderson. And we talked about it on the pregame show, just about how, you know, when there's chemistry amongst players and especially amongst defensemen, it's something that, having been a defenseman myself, I'm very familiar with, and oftentimes you see it right away. And to me, it was there. There's a strong ability to read off of one another, which is huge. Obviously, the style of play that they both have, I think it complements one another really, really well. So I definitely think that there is something really, really good and could be really solid for this team all year long in that pairing. And I mean, based on the way that they played tonight, you'd keep them together, that's for sure. So I'm excited to see what they can do and where that'll go.
Okay, so now the Flames don't practice again until Monday. They don't play again until Wednesday for the regular season opener in Vancouver. This is your Flames Talk postgame show. The preseason is done. You can give us a call at 403-240-4444 or text at 960-960. Let's get some final thoughts for our final preseason Flames Talk postgame show from our broadcast crew of Megan Mickelson and Derek Wills, starting with Mick. Final thoughts heading into the regular season, friends.
Overall, a really strong preseason for the Flames, and I think that they would all be happy with the level of compete, the level of pace, and just how hard as a group, because of the internal competition that they've had, that they've made it on the coaching staff. This game tonight, I think there was a lot of really promising areas of their game that we saw. As Brad mentioned, that first go-around on the power play, and just watching the power play in general, just much more unpredictable, much more dynamic, better puck movement. You can see that they've been let loose a little bit to play a little bit more or play with more creativity. The penalty kill looked really good as well. And then just the balance amongst the lineup and the way that they've started to figure out kind of who fits where. I thought in this game tonight, the lines were figuring out what their roles are and what they're going to bring. And the fourth line, I thought they had a few rough shifts in their own end, but you can see that they know what their job is and that they can do it really well, be physical, hard to play against, rough and tough. And then I think my biggest takeaway from the preseason and from this game, and a big question mark coming in, was what's Dan Vladar going to look like? And he has shown that, you know, however the load management and how the staff has handled that, I mean, he's looked really, really good outside of the minor scare at the end of the first period, which I missed. I didn't see him, you know, limp off the ice or anything like that. But he's looked really good and looked really strong in this game tonight. So that's a big takeaway for me as well. And I mean, I'm sure all of these guys are saying, thank goodness the preseason's over. Like, let's move on and let's do this for real. I know I think I'm saying that.
I think we're all
saying that. Yeah, eight is enough, right? So a lot of good things to take away. But you can tell that, you know, a lot of the guys have said, we want to be a competitive team. And you can see that in their play.
Yeah, for me, the most exciting part of the preseason wasn't their impressive 5-2-1 record. It was the internal competition because know, we've all watched this team for a long, long time, and there have been a lot of training camps and preseasons where you were hoping that a handful of guys would make life difficult for the management group and the coaching staff by playing at a high level. And I would say more often than not in the past, we've been disappointed. And there have been seasons where you were looking for maybe one forward and one defenseman, and at the end of the training camp and preseason, you're like, I don't love any of our options here. You know, what's the lesser of these two or three evils? Well, that certainly wasn't the case with how a number of players performed, and some surprised during the preseason. I mean, at the top of the list, of course, is Sam Hanzek. Who saw that coming? He didn't even see it coming because I asked him about it yesterday, but nobody saw that coming, and nobody saw him leading the NHL in preseason points as he did going into this hockey game tonight. And he's going to make some difficult decisions for the management group and the coaching staff. It looks like maybe a battle between him and Adam Klapka to be the 12th forward to start the season. And how about Klapka and his continued development? He's looking like an NHL player as a guy who chipped in offensively and has great size and is a good skater and can certainly bang and crash, and we saw that again tonight. Even on the back end, it looks like the Flames are, you know, seven, maybe eight deep to start the season on defense, and they've got some guys at the AHL level that I think they would be quite comfortable in calling up. Now, I'm not going to lie, my two biggest question marks going into camp were goaltending and who your other middle six centerman is. And even after eight preseason games, I'm still not sure I've got an answer, because you take what you see in the preseason with a grain of salt.
Right.
So as good as the Flames goaltenders were, specifically the two guys who we expect will start the season as the 1A, 1B in Dan Vladar and Dustin Wolf, what are they going to look like when the bullets start to fly, when the games start to matter? I think they both had strong preseasons, so I'm more optimistic, especially with Vladar coming back and looking so good after having season-ending hip surgery in March. And then as far as the centerman is concerned, we know Nazem Kadri's good to go. We know Michael Backlund's good to go. I think we all expect Kevin Rooney to be the fourth-line centerman to start the season. Will Martin Pospisil center the other line in the middle six? Well, he did again tonight, so probably. Is that going to be a long-term solution? I don't know yet. I'm not convinced that it will be or that it won't be, because I think he does deserve some time to acclimate going from playing the wing and playing at a really high level in his first season to playing at center, where things are a little bit different. So I've still got some questions, but I am optimistic heading into the regular season and anxious to see if a really strong preseason, 5-2-1, lots of goals, good goaltending, lots of internal competition, if that leads to a good start to the regular season. It's always important to start strong in games and in seasons. I think it's even more important for the Flames to do it this year with all the question marks surrounding this team. If you get off to a good start, I think you're going to get buy-in from guys who you need to have buy-in from, and I think that's going to be really important.
Really curious to see what the line combinations might look like Monday at practice, because I am really interested if Pospisil is the long-term guy with Mantha and Huberdeau. I'm really curious to see if that's something that they're going to carry over into the regular season or not, and we'll start to find that out on Monday at practice. For now, enjoy a full weekend off, friends.
You too, Pat.
You too. You deserve it. Celebrate your birthday.
Yeah.
And fingers crossed for Sharky. Yes. I hope to see him on Monday.
No update yet. You're going to hear that from head coach Ryan Huska right now. But no update on Yegor Sharangovich. Left in the final 4 minutes or so of the third period tonight. So that is something to watch going into Monday as well. Okay. Megan Mickelson, Derek Wills signing off. Be well, friends. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Call now. Text now, 960-960. Final score, 3-2. Flames fall to the Winnipeg Jets to wrap up the preseason. Here is head coach Ryan Huska postgame tonight.
Ryan, the preseason's over. I'm sure that's a good thing for everybody in that room, but maybe your biggest takeaway as a group or maybe as a coaching staff that you like?
Well, we've talked a lot about the new depth that we feel like we have. Like, there's a lot of guys that had very good camps for us. So when we look at this camp, we feel it was a good one, that we pushed the players hard. I thought they did a great job of staying with it. As I mentioned, we saw some players elevate their level and put themselves in conversation. So overall, it was a positive camp from our coaching staff's perspective. Yeah.
And I realize you have a bit of practice time, but what tells you this group is ready now for game one?
Well, we didn't give much up tonight, and I talked this morning about that's one thing that I wanted to see. And I thought we were really good at controlling the middle of the ice and not giving a good rush team a lot of room. So that's something, you know, it makes me feel pretty good about. You didn't get the result we wanted tonight, but I thought we probably deserved better. I mean, I know that doesn't really mean anything at the end of the day, but I feel like our checking details were really good tonight.
It must mean something to the coach when he can go home and go, okay, it beats the alternative where that last game you think, oh, geez, what am I watching?
Yeah, for sure. And that's, like I said, I mentioned that this morning because this is basically all of our guys played tonight with the exception of maybe one or two, right? So you always want to see how they're going to respond when they're together. Are they still playing with that same work and that same pace that the younger guys are playing with because they're really hungry and they wanted to make an impression? And I thought they did a good job of that tonight. The checking side, I still think that we can play faster on the offensive side, and that's something that we'll continue to work on.
What did you think of both sides, your special teams tonight?
Penalty kill was good tonight. Didn't really give much. There was the one chance late at the end of the first one. And the power play had some chances. It was still a little bit broken at times, but it did have some chances to score.
Got some traffic through and got both your goals on deflections. That's got to be encouraging because those goals will work any time of year.
When you look at most of our goals that we feel like that we've scored during the exhibition season, a lot of them have been tips or screens that guys are skating in front of goaltenders' eyes. And that's a good thing because it helps us sell the players that you have to be there and you have to be around the net. So, yeah, no, there was a lot over the course of the exhibition season.
Rasmus Anderson had 12 shot attempts. That kind of fits right into what you're talking about there, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And even on the power play tonight for that unit, everything he pretty much touched, he was shooting. And that's what we want out of him. He's got a heavy shot. It gives us another threat for a one-time option on the power play. And I think I don't know how many years we've been together now, he and I, but maybe it's starting to sink in that we'd like to see him shoot more.
See, maybe an awkward play there with Sharon Govich. Do you have any update there?
It happened so late last that I haven't seen Kent yet, so hopefully it's good news.
Hopefully it's good news is what you're talking about for Yegor Sharangovich. Again, left an awkward fall, and you're wondering, they didn't. When you go right down the tunnel, it definitely worries you a little bit. But they've got 2 days not on the ice, so we'll see if there is some sort of update come Monday when it comes to Yegor Sharangovich. But definitely that is something to watch for as we move into the start of the regular season. That's head coach Ryan Huska postgame following a 3-2 Flames preseason loss to the Winnipeg Jets as the preseason is now done. Phone lines are open, 403-240-4444. Text line is open at 960-960. Call now. Text now. You want to talk about the preseason. You want to talk about camp. You want to talk about line combinations and roster moves and roster decisions going into the regular season. It's all on the table for you on the phone lines and the text line. My name is Pat Steinberg. Flames Talk postgames on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. And this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues from the Hot Stove Lounge on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, the preseason is done as we welcome you back to the Hot Stove Lounge here at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. It's our Flames Talk postgame show. Preseason wraps up with a 3-2 Flames loss to the Winnipeg Jets. Preseason wraps up with a 5-2-1 record. What's going on? Flames Talk postgame, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, the phone lines are open. Got a few people on hold. If you want to jump in, you can do so right now. 403-240-4444. Text line open at 960-960. We'll get to the phone lines and the text line in just a second, but right now, one of your goal scorers tonight for the Calgary Flames. He just happens to be the captain as well. Michael Backlund wrapping up training camp, looking ahead to the regular season. Here's Captain Michael Backlund postgame tonight.
It's over. The preseason is over. What is your, biggest takeaway as a group?
Yeah, I thought from day one that we practiced really hard, a lot of pace, some good competing practices, and I thought we played well in games. Preseason, it's a lot up and downs too during games, but I thought the boys really dug in and thought we played hard all camp and practice and games.
In that sense, have you accomplished I know you don't get the answers yet, but do you feel like you've accomplished what you needed in this phase of it?
Yeah, I think you know, we changed some small details in our system, and I thought we did a really good job today on that. You know, I just thought we were slow at first, but after that, we thought we were better, and we were playing to our details. I didn't give them much, so yeah, I think we've done a good job, like I said, in practicing games to work on the things we need to work on, and yeah, next game is it's game on.
Can you speak to maybe just the atmosphere in here now that the regular season is the real next step for this group? How would you describe the pulse of this room and maybe the overall feel before you start things here?
Yeah, guys are excited. You can tell. You know, I thought, like I said, we'll slow start, but then we play a lot of more energy in second and third. And you can tell after the game, you know, guys, you know, we don't never want to lose. But, you know, now we're focusing on Wednesday, and you can tell guys are excited already and that it's coming up. And camp's always a grind. It's always exciting at first, and then, you know, it's a little bit of a grind. And now we're through it, and now, yeah, now it starts. So, yeah, it's exciting times.
You had Samuel Hanzik on your line for a live stage. Just what'd you think of his contributions on your line?
Yeah, no, I thought he was good. He plays with a lot of speed, a lot of confidence, and he's strong on pucks. And, you know, throughout the whole camp, I think he's been really good. I didn't get to see him much early. We're different groups and different games. But the first practice I saw him, like a week in, I was real excited to see him in practice, how good he was. So I think he's played really well for us.
Who would you say had the best deflection goal tonight?
Me. It's hard to copy.
It's good to see the deflection goal early on.
What's that?
Good to see the deflection goal working early on.
Yeah, I mean, it's it was really nice by Hube, and then, you know, I thought, why not try it myself? And it's always nice to score a nice tip in. Yeah, something I worked on over the years, so it feels good to score those goals.
There you go. That is Captain Michael Backlund post-game tonight. 3-2 final score. Flames fall to the Winnipeg Jets to wrap up the preseason. Save of the game time brought to you by Shane Holmes. Dan Vladar went the distance tonight, all three periods, and Dan Vladar's save of the game comes in period number one.
Now Perfetti, near half-court, sneaks in and throws it to the net off a skate and up the far boards. Flames back to full strength. Here's Perfetti in the near circle. Centering. Domestikov walks it and shoots. And Vladar flashes the leather. Make a fantastic trapper stop.
That ends up being one of the 14 stops made by Dan Vladar tonight. And that is his save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes makes a donation to Kidsport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com, the better way to build. Let's see if I can do this on the fly while talking. But I thought Vladar, even though he only faced 17 shots tonight, thought he looked just fine. Again, the thing about Dan Vladar so far is that he has been, he just has looked really solid, and he's looked really comfortable. So I'm going to see if I can do the quick math on this. So he has allowed 6 on 69 going in. So he came into tonight with a 913 save percentage. So it will drop a little bit tonight because, you know, allowing 3 on 17 is going to drop it a little bit. I'm just going to get you the final numbers on. So he was at a 63 divided by 69. 913, so that would end up being, I do apologize for the just amazing. It's so good doing math on the radio, but I wanted to do this to make sure that I had it for you. So that would be 9 on 86. 86 minus 9 is 77. So 77 on 86 is... So he'll finish with just a little under 900 save percentage in the preseason, which is what it is. Again, allowing the 3 on 17 drops it from 913 to just under 900 in the preseason. But what is... I think the most encouraging thing about Vladar is less about the numbers and more about the way that he's moving. He just looks significantly more comfortable. He just looks a whole lot more crisp and set and all of those things. So that's a real positive thing for Dan Vladar, and we'll see if it. Here's what I would say when it comes to the opening night goaltender on Wednesday. My guess is they'll go Vladar. If it were me, I'd go Wolf. I thought Wolf was the best of the three goaltenders in the preseason, and I would give the opening night start to Dustin. That would be me, but I think seniority-wise, how long he's been on the team, all that type of stuff, I do think it might trend towards Vladar. And so if I were a betting man, I'd say Vladar starts on Wednesday. If I were the guy making the call, I would go Wolf. I'm not, and so I don't mind. Like, I mean, going Vladar, it's going to be one of the two anyway, and they're going to be splitting a lot of starts. But I thought Wolf had the best preseason of the three, and all three of them were really good. I thought Cooley was strong, and I thought Vladar was strong. And Vladar is the one that I guess you're kind of rooting for the most just because he's coming back from the hip surgery, and you didn't know how he was going to react. You didn't know how long it was going to take. Well, he's been really good so far in this preseason, and that's a positive to see. Okay, to the text line we go at 960-960 this evening. Dylan kicking us off, our boy Dylan and Revy, who says, I don't have much to say about the game tonight, but I'm curious, do we look at Pelche with rose-tinted glasses? Is simply because he was an injection of youthful attitude when we were starved for it. Was he ever actually that good that year? Also, how's your back, Grandpa? That's my way of saying, holy heck, you're an old man. I'm not an old man. I've had at least three people tell me it's not that old. Dylan, I think that's a really fair question. So what Dylan is referring to is when Jacob Pelche came in two seasons ago, you know, the whole, you know, what number was he with Daryl Sutter, all that type of stuff. And he got his feet wet in the NHL and played a lot of games that year. And, you know, I thought definitely injected a lot of youthful enthusiasm and energy into this Flames locker room in doing so. I do think that he played well in his role kind of as a bottom six forward. I thought he played well during that stretch. However, I do think that because at the time there were so many people clamoring, remember that was Daryl Sutter and Brad Treliving's last year, and one of the criticisms of both guys from a lot of people in this market was that, you know, maybe not enough opportunity for younger players. Well, this was the only younger player that really got a lot of opportunity that year, and thus him getting into the lineup and getting some regular time and doing some good things, I think maybe did up the excitement level around him. That being said, as fair as the question is, Dylan, I still think that Jacob Pelche's play that year is the best we've ever seen in the NHL from him. And the way that he played in those 20-plus games or whatever it was, I think if he were to be doing that on a regular basis now, we would be noticing it more than what we've noticed of him so far this preseason. All that being said, I did think that what we saw from Pelche in his last preseason game on Wednesday was the most positive yet. I don't know if that'll be enough to get him onto the opening day roster. I don't. And I do think that it is valid to be watching waivers at noon on both Saturday and Sunday to see if Jacob ends up there. We'll see. If there is an injury to Sharon Govich, that would also play into that and would make the decision a little bit more it would make it a different decision, potentially a different decision anyway, when it comes to Pelche. We'll wait and see. This says, the Flames look good, young, but play with a lot more heart than we've seen in the last few years. What's your take on who's getting the crease this year? Well, I think it's going to be a tandem between Wolf and Vladar, and I think it might even be a trio at times. I do think Cooley is going to play NHL games this year. He may have to start in the American League. In fact, he probably will have to start in the American League, but I think Cooley is going to play games this year, and I think that when it is Wolf and Vladar as the two guys on the roster, they're both going to play. And maybe it's Vladar who starts on Wednesday. Well, then they're going to split the game Saturday and Sunday and go from there. And if it's all said and done, if we're talking about and do some, we all love how I do quick math on the air, but if it's something like 35 games for Wolf, 36 games for Vladar, and 11 games for Cooley, I don't think I would not be surprised in the slightest if that's the type of goaltending split we saw this year, because that would be 35 would be 36, that would be 71 plus 11. Yeah, so 35, 36, 11. Like something like that, that wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if the Flames' goaltending split ended up like that. I think it's going to be a trio at times. It's definitely going to be a tandem. I don't think there's going to be a stretch this year where one guy for 2 or 3 months is the clear number one. Adam from Saskatoon says, Pat, I'm loving what we're seeing from Hanzek and Klapka. Size, reach, physicality, skill. Thinking both guys should get a look, say 5 to 6 games minimum. Well, I think they're different cases. Klapka's already, you know, Klapka's got 2 full years of North American professional hockey under his belt and made his NHL debut, got his feet wet last year. I think Klapka is a decent candidate. I know he's waiver exempt, and that does play into things sometimes, but I think Klapka's a decent candidate to get some pretty decent NHL time this year. I think that, you know, if we saw Klapka stay all season, that wouldn't be a surprise. And if he doesn't stay all season, if we saw Klapka get in the 35-40 NHL game range this year, that wouldn't be a surprise. So I think Klapka is a little bit different than Hanzek. There's more questions on the Hanzek front for me. I think he's going to start the season. And again, knock on wood, we hope Sharon Govich is okay. You know, if he does have to miss some time, that might open the door for Hanzek to get into the top 9 to start the regular season. We'll see. And you never hope for an injury. I hope that, you know, Sharon Govich is just fine and we see him on the ice for practice on Monday. But regardless, I think Hanzek's on your opening night roster. I'd like to see them get him into the opening night lineup if that is possible. But maybe it's something like what we saw from Matt Coronato last year. Coronato made the team out of camp and, you know, the regular season started okay and then kind of started to tail off. And then Craig Conroy was like, you know, he's playing fourth line minutes and is bordering on being a healthy scratch in the NHL. Let's get him to the Wranglers where he can play first line minutes. He went down there, played first line minutes, was named an American League All-Star, and then came back up for the final month or whatever it was of the season and looked a whole lot better. And if something like that happens for Hanzek, I don't think anybody will be surprised. If it doesn't and he stays all year, great. But I think Hanzek and Klapka are slightly different players. This text says, one comment, goaltending is their weakness. You guys continually say how great the goaltending is. However, just take the past 2 games with Vladar and Wolf at 80% save percentages, just not good enough. Also, like last year, they doubled the shot count and still lost. One of these guys should be sent to the Wranglers with their save percentages. 3 goals on 17 shots won't cut it, or 5 on 27, just not good enough. I guess I can see where the text is coming from. I don't agree, and I also think the preseason is the preseason for goalies, too. And I think that I'm not really going to be able to evaluate this goaltending until we're into the regular season and we're seeing the live pucks and we're seeing them, we're seeing the guys face, you know, shooters at 100%, which they haven't yet, which could be good or bad. And they're going to be going at regular season pace between the pipes as well. I think goaltending has been a positive. Small sample size preseason numbers, I'm not going to sit here and say means that it was a poor preseason. I go based on what I saw, and I thought that the preseason was strong for all 3 of Cooley, Wolf, and Vladar, and that's what I believe going into the regular season. Jeff in Lethbridge says, I know Mira Manav is still learning defense, but that first Jets goal was on him. Hope he can shore this up. Like the Flames' style of play was good to watch. Mantha could be a whipping boy for Flames fans, so hopefully he puts all his tools together and has a good year. He just seems like the kind of player Calgary fans could turn on. Vladar was really good tonight. Who do you think should start opening night? That's from Jeff in Lethbridge. Well, Jeff says he was really good. The text before said he was really bad. What do I believe? I thought Vladar was fine tonight. I thought he was pretty good. I would go Wolf if I was making the decision. I think the decision is going to be Vladar. Like, if I were a betting man, I'd say I think Vladar gets the start. If I were making the call, I would go with Wolf. It's 6-6-1, half a dozen the other, to be perfectly honest. They've been pretty close. I just think of the 3 goaltenders. For me, Wolf has been the best in camp, and that's I would go with him to give the start on opening night. As for Mantha, I think that could be something that becomes a factor. I think that he would be the type of guy that in any Canadian market could be that type of whipping boy, only because Mantha's been a guy that has struggled with consistency for most of his career, and there's always been at times a bit of a knock of him being, you know, is the work ethic there, and does he bring it? Is it an everyday thing for Mantha? He's got an incredible shot. He is extremely talented offensively. He is a big body, and when he uses that big body, he is an absolute force. But do you see that consistently? And if the answer is no, then yeah, I could see him become a guy that takes a lot of flack from Flames fans or any fans in a Canadian market. So we'll see how that plays itself out. Hopefully we see him, as Jeff said, put all the tools together. And as for Miramanov, yeah, there's still some defensive things that he's working out. And I didn't think that Jets goal was all on him. Both him and Uyghur chased down deep, but there was also a line change going on, and that line change wasn't communicated properly, I don't think. And so that left Niederreiter wide open as much as – so I didn't put that on one guy myself. A few more texts before we hit the phone lines. For the upcoming season, do you think the Flames will have lots of trades, or will they stick with their group until the trade deadline? I mean, I do think that there will be a couple of moves that are made. I think that the conversation surrounding Kuzmenko, the conversation surrounding Mantha are both going to be interesting ones because they are on expiring contracts, and so they could be interesting trade chips. So I think that we will see a couple of moves as we move on, but I think it's also results dependent. If the Flames are way out of it in December, then I think it's more likely that you could see a team start to look for somebody that maybe we're not talking about to bring in. If the team is competitive, well, I don't think they're going to be trading away a lot of guys, and maybe we do wait until the deadline for a couple of decisions to be made in that regard. Couple more texts. This says 62 and 52 were okay tonight, but 62 is not a number two D-man in this league. Of course, he's talking about Miramanov and Uyghur, saying that Miramanov is not a number two D-man in this league. I mean, honestly, the top two defensemen on this team are Anderson and Uyghur in whatever order you have them. They're just playing on different pairings. So right now, Miramanov is on a top four pairing, and so is Ball. But Uyghur and Anderson, if you ask me, are the drivers and the kind of those are the constants. Those are the those are the pillars of each pairing. And you know, I think Uyghur and Miramanov play well together. And there's going to be more adjustment and learning for Miramanov as time goes along. So having a guy like Uyghur on his left side is pretty important, I think. So Miramanov's not the number two D-man on this team. That's either Uyghur or Anderson, depending on how you want to number them. And finally, from Ash, before we get to the phone lines, nice to see Anderson fire 7 on net. I hope this shooting mentality doesn't change despite him not scoring today. One player who I feel didn't get enough credit for his solid exhibition season was Kirkland. I know he's an older prospect, but his ability to drive the net was very noticeable. Your thoughts? I know the Flames are big fans of Kirkland. They really liked his training camp. He's in the American League, and that makes sense. He's on a two-way deal, but I do think if the Flames run into some injury problems and they're in need of a center iceman, I do think Kirkland's a guy that they would give some consideration to. As for Rasmus Anderson, yeah, to see him get 7 shots and 12 attempts, that's something that's high for Raz, no doubt about it. Do I think that we're going to be seeing him fire 7 on net on a regular basis? Maybe not, but if he can up his shot total from last year, even by a little bit, I think that would be a positive step forward for Rasmus. And the Flames and this coaching staff have been asking Rasmus to shoot it more, and he knows it. He's talked about it. He's made jokes about it. Rasmus has gone 159 shots in each of the last two seasons. If he can get that up to like even 180, I think that would be a nice step forward, because you know if he could up it half a shot a game, all of a sudden he's pushing 200 shots, and he's got a great shot. It's hard and it's accurate. So if they can instill just a little bit more of a shooting mentality. Half a shot a game on average would make a big difference, I think, with Rasmus Anderson. Great stuff so far on the text line at 960-960. Now to the phone lines. It's your Flames Talk post-game show here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. 403-240-4444. Our Flames Talk post-game show available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. And let's get to the phone lines. Our first call tonight, we say hello to Neil. What's going on, Neil?
Not a whole lot, Patty. Happy birthday, man.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that.
And I just want to send some love out to the Goodrill family for their loss of their two amazing sons. And it really hit home for me. And I know the whole hockey community is suffering from it. And I just want everybody to know that we're all in together and we can rally around something that's truly tragic and sad for everyone.
Absolutely.
On the side of the Flames preseason here, I gotta say, I'm happy with what happened. They ironed out a few things, I think, when it comes to the forward group at least. They figured out exactly where they need to be looking on their top six and their bottom six. I think there's things they've identified that what they're looking for to kind of fill that group out. Which players fit in, I think, is still up for question. And I did text in earlier about my lines, which are a little bit of a jumble from what they're actually currently using. And I know I left Kuzmenko out, but to me, I feel like he's kind of is, to me, the odd man out and what's separating.
How on earth is Kuzmenko on this roster the odd man out?
I feel like, because he will be traded.
If you're going to trade, if you want to trade him, you can't sit him.
No, and fair enough. I mean, maybe I'm projecting like a few more months into the future.
Okay.
Looking to the future. So I kind of just don't see him as part of the like next projected 2 years, let's say. I just don't see him within that structure. Just because I think of the way the Flames are going to want to play. I think you'll need some of those skill guys on there, but I think they're also going to have to be two-way players. Maybe something like I said, with a Trotz-type team or, like say, like a Boston, where it's based off of team defense, guys that play two-way forward positions, which is what they've been drafting. If you look at a guy like Hanzek or even Peltier, prior to that, Zary is also a good two-way forward. They do need to draft a first overall, like a center, some guy that maybe not first overall, but like a guy that's a number one.
They need a number one center, no doubt about that. That is the number one need now organizationally.
But I think that the players that they have in the system at the moment can iron out a lot of those other spots, which kind of to me makes a guy like Kuzmenko a little bit obsolete. Like we have a guy like Sharon Govich. I think is a better player of what
Kuzmenko does. My only pushback on that is that, I mean, Kuzmenko helped completely turn around their power play last year. Like, do I think that Kuzmenko, like, if I'm the Flames, am I extending Kuzmenko? Me, as of right now, probably not. That would not be what I would be doing. But
right.
While he's here, I think he's an everyday guy, and he's a catalyst on their power play. They were like the number five power play in the league in the final 25, 26 games last year, and that was thanks in large part to Kuzmenko.
How was the Wranglers' power play last year with the guys that were on it that are potentially maybe moving up? That's what I want to see.
There's nobody that has the skill level of Kuzmenko on the Wranglers right now.
Not even Coronado's shot isn't like semi-equivalent.
I think you are way undervaluing how skilled Kuzmenko is, man.
No, but so I get what you're saying. Like I do get what you're saying. Like he does have a offensive value. And I do think he's a good player, but what I'm saying is that I don't see a future potential with him.
No, I don't either. I'm not extending him. I still think that trading him is probably the best way to go. I'm not disputing you there. I'm just saying that, like, as of right now, he's in your lineup every day.
Fair enough. And like, there's like, the logjam is intentional. They're trying to improve the forward group by creating competition, and I totally get that. But it does. I look at teams like Chicago and San Jose. They're going to give all these young guys a lot of opportunity, and I just don't know if the guys that we added in the offseason, like, I think Lomberg is a perfect add. Whereas I think the fact that we got Kuzmenko last year, and there was, I almost feel like it's something we could have already moved on from, or not signed Mantha, or do you know what I mean? Like, there, it seems like there may be a logjam that's unnecessary, where we could have like a real pipeline going for all these young kids from the AHL Wranglers, and Kuzmenko is one of those pieces that I just see, like, yes, he's valuable and he will score points on the power play, and he'll help out guys 5-on-5. But does it really help the team overall? It's basically
like
my
big picture. Well, yeah, but I mean, again, I hear you, but he's here. So, yeah. Like, while he's here, he's got to be part of he's part of your top 12 forwards while he's here and healthy. In the long term, no, I don't see him being a long term fit myself. Then you've got an opportunity to move on, right? Like, I don't know. I'm a big Matty Coronado fan. But he doesn't do what Kuzmenko does, and very few players in this league do. He's a pretty dynamic player, man. And so while he's here, you want to take advantage of that. And if they are going to try to move him at the deadline, you want him playing well, and you want his value as high as possible, so you're getting as good an asset for him.
Yeah, I view him as like a Kovalchuk light. It's kind of player he is. You know?
I don't know. Kovalchuk light. That's not an insult, if you ask me.
No, not at all. I just want to say one more thing. Like, I did comment on what I think the Flames can really do well this year is their penalty kill. Like I said, Ryan Huska is like a student of penalty kill, and he really knows what he's doing when it comes to that. He's orchestrated that for the team for the last, you know, whatever plethora of years. I think if he can make the culture that comes off of the penalty kill translate throughout the rest of the team, I think that'll actually be very important towards the building of the future of this team. It's like a hard work ethic. And that penalty kill mentality that you're always down a man and you got to work extra hard no matter what.
Now it's Brad Larson who's running the penalty kill. Same philosophy.
But that's what I'm saying, is the overarching philosophy is going to, I think, reign true. And I think that's like a real strong advantage. I think penalty kill may be underrated. When you look at teams like Edmonton, they can score tons of goals on the power play. But, you know, if you can't stop it on the other end, I mean, it's really not that much of an advantage, is it? Anyways, have a great night, Pat. Thank you for the call.
All right, Neil, you have yourself a great night, hey?
Thank you very much.
I'm just going to yes, and the Flames have themselves a solid penalty kill. There's no doubt about it, and had a solid penalty kill last year. So, and I think have a chance to have a solid penalty kill this year as well, which would be a super positive thing. I absolutely agree. I think that the conversation we were having when it comes to Kuzmenko, I think that you can't say that Kuzmenko is the odd man out right now when he's still on the team and when he's an important part of the team. Do I think that, you know, it makes the most sense in the world to have Kuzmenko long term with the Flames? Probably not. We'll see how things go, but yeah, it probably makes the most sense, at least as I'm thinking about it right now, to move him. But there's nobody that is as, like, it's no, not that there's anybody on the Wranglers right now, and the Wranglers are, you know, there's going to be some really good prospects down there this year, and it's going to be exciting, but I don't know if there's anybody right now that you're saying, well, move on from Kuzmenko, and then there's another player from the Wranglers that's ready to take that spot. As a little birdie told me, like, two power play goals from Matt Coronado in 41 Wrangler games last year. So it's just, you know, Kuzmenko's a part of this team and a big part of this team while he's on the team. And if he remains on the team beyond the deadline and there's an extension, well, then he's going to remain a big part of this team's offense. And if he's not, well, until a move is made, he's going to be a big part of this team's offense. So say hello to Anand on the phone lines, 403-240-4444. What's going on, Anand?
Good evening, Patty. Just wanted to first wish you a belated birthday on behalf of me and my brother, Arjun.
Thank you, friends. That's very nice of you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Good game tonight, despite the result. Looks like we'll see what is closer to the opening lineup. I'll just have a couple of questions for you, and then I'll let you go. So first question, we still have players like Cole Schwind, Joel Hanley and all in the team. Do you think they'll get sent down to the AHL between Saturday and Sunday here?
At some point before Monday at 3 p.m., there will be some more assignments to the Wranglers for sure. I don't know about Hanley. I do think there's a slight worry of having too many defenders in the American League and having three vets, Aspero, Tenorti, are already there, and then you add Hanley to that mix, that really makes it becomes pretty difficult now when you've also got six prospects down there on the blue line. So I do think there is a little bit of a worry there. So I'm not sure on Hanley. My guess is that Cole Schwint, who I actually think has had a pretty good camp, my guess is Cole Schwint would be put on waivers at some point and would go down to the American League between now and Monday. So there's definitely going to be some more moves to the AHL between now and the roster deadline on Monday.
Alright, gotcha. And then next question regarding Sharangovich. I hope he's all right. Fingers crossed. But in case if he needs to miss a couple of games, do you think so? If a line could be so Zari, Kadri, and Kuzmenko on the first line, and then
you know what, Anand, I don't want to start putting lines together yet. I don't want to start.
Gotcha.
Just because you want to be respectful, and you talk to enough NHLers, you don't ever want to be hoping for injuries and stuff like that. So is Sharangovich a factor, and would that factor into some of their roster decisions between now and Monday? Sure, but I don't want to start putting line combinations together based on a guy maybe being hurt. You know.
All right, coach. Yeah, fair enough. All right. Yeah, I think that was about it. I'm pretty excited to see what's to come. Come Monday's skate and then Wednesday season opener. Yeah, looking forward to it. Talk to you on Wednesday. Then have a great couple of days off. Enjoy your birthday and talk to you then.
Thank you, Anand. You be well, buddy.
Yeah, have a good night. Take care.
Thank you, Anand. Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. You've got time to jump in right now if you want to chat following a Flames 3-2 preseason loss to the Winnipeg Jets to wrap up the 2024 preseason. It's all done now. All about the regular season, which starts on Wednesday in Vancouver. My name is Pat Steinberg. This is your Flames Talk postgame show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. And one of the big stories throughout camp has been the play of Sam Hanzek, the 2023 first-round pick. We're going to hear from him inside the Flames locker room now. And, Sam Hanzek, 7 points in six games. And the thing that I think has been most exciting and encouraging about Hanzek is that as this preseason has gone along and as the rosters on the other side have gradually gotten better, at no point in the six preseason games that he played has Sam Hanzek looked out of place. And I think if you ask me, he should be on the team. I think he will be on the team. And I think when that opening roster comes out on Monday, there will be a number 42 on it, and there should be a number 42 on it when it's all said and done. Let's hear from Sam Hanzek inside the Flames locker room following his final preseason game of 2024.
Well, it feels like we've been asking you all week for 2 weeks. How do you feel you did? How do you feel you did? What's sort of your assessment of tonight?
I think overall I would say my preseason was good. I know it was great, and I think I can take, even if I stay or make the team, I don't know yet, but I can take lots of experience from here, and then I'll basically bring it where I'm gonna play.
How challenging do you think the next 48 hours or whatever it is will be, just waiting to find out if what you did was enough?
It's going to be maybe stressful, but it's good that those are 2 days off, so I don't have to worry about practice or anything. So, it's going to be good, but, I'm ready for everything.
So you can just sit there and think about it for 2 full days.
I mean yeah, fair enough. But, I did everything I could, now it's not up to me. It's up to coaches and management to decide what's next and what's good for me.
Is there a sense of sort of satisfaction? Like you said, no matter what happens, can you look back and say, okay, I really put my best foot forward?
Definitely. Here. This is a big thing for me. I can say, I did the job I had to do here. And, I think I left a good message here. And, in the future, I think it can help me.
Sam, those are a couple pretty full NHL player lineups. What did it mean to get out there and kill some penalties and get a little power play time as well?
It meant a lot to me. Basically, the last two games for me, where I played, it was full NHL lineup or most of the NHL guys. So it was great, higher piece and, more about detail. So, like I said, everyone's skilled enough to make every play. So, but who is going to make more mistakes going to lose the game.
When one of your own teammates gets you in the ankle on the power play, do you say anything to him when you get back to the bench?
Sorry?
When one of your own teammates shoots one off your ankle on the power play, did you say anything to Connor when you got back to the bench?
Not really. I was just, my emotions were flying all over the place, but it's hockey, life's going on. So.
There you go. That is Sam Honzek. Post game tonight, no points for him, but I thought he looked good, looked very much in his element, and continues to be a very positive story so far this training camp and preseason. And now, friends, training camp and the preseason all done, and it's all about the start of the regular season. It's Pat Steinberg along with you. This is your Flames Talk post-game show. Last call for phone calls. If you want to chime in, now's the time to do so. 403-240-4444 is your phone number. 96960 on the text line. Call now. Keep your text coming as well, but it is last call for phone calls. If you want to jump in and talk some preseason hockey, and more importantly, talk about this team getting set for the regular season. Give us a call now one more time, 403-240-4444. This is your Flames Talk post-game show, and this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk post-game show continues from the Hot Stove Lounge on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Okay, friends, the preseason is officially over. Training camp is officially over. It's time for the regular season. Welcome back to your Flames Talk post-game show. Pat Steinberg along with you on this Friday night. 3-2 final score. Flames wrap up the preseason with a 3-2 loss to the Winnipeg Jets. Okay, last call for phone calls, 403-240-4444. Get in now. If you want to chat, this is your last call. If you don't, that's perfectly fine as well. But if you want to chat, you're going to have to give us a call now. Keep the text coming, though. Lots still to get to on the text line at 960-960. Okay, before we get back to the text line, one more trip inside the Flames locker room. The other goal scorer tonight. Let's hear from Jonathan Huberdeau. He opened the scoring 64 seconds into the third period. Here's Jonathan Huberdeau post-game tonight.
Well, it's over. The preseason is done. What is your takeaway? Maybe what's the biggest takeaway for this group?
It's great. I think we're, a hardworking team. And we showed it, I think, during this training camp. Proud of the guys. I think it's just the beginning. But, a lot of young guys who stepped up. And it's good to see. And I think, obviously the way we came back in the third tonight, that's shows a lot of character, and that's how we got to play all year.
How do you feel like how is it going with the team identity? Do you feel like steps were taken this training camp?
Yeah, a lot. I think we, we're working hard. I think we want to be a tough team to play against. And, I thought we did that this training camp. So I think, in the season, it's going to be harder every night. But I think if we play the same way, I think we're going to be a hard team to play against.
What tells you this team's ready for the regular season?
I mean, just the way I think we're, playing as a team, and it's, the way we kind of show up every night. I think that's what, we got to do throughout the season. And I think, during training camp, the practice were hard, the competition was high, and like I said, I think not only the veteran, but I think the young guys, you know, they came up and they're playing well.
There's been an intense debate about who had the nicest deflection goal tonight.
I mean, I got to give it to Max. I think he was 10-1 on the faceoffs tonight, so that's pretty impressive.
You'd think he would have voted for you, no?
Yeah, he said he had a thicker blade, though, so I don't know. That might be a little cheating.
It's true. Michael Backlund did go 10-1 in the faceoff dot, won 10 of 11. Nazem Kadri won 17 of 26. Flames were 66% in the faceoff dot tonight against the Winnipeg Jets. There's Jonathan Huberdeau postgame. See what type of regular season number 10 has in year 3 as a member of the Calgary Flames. Okay, let's get back to the text line at 960-960. Start to wrap things up on our Flames Talk postgame show with our text this evening, starting with Dan in Chestermere. A lot of reaction to Neil's call that was that basically I don't know if Neil, I'm still a little confused as to what Neil was trying to say, but it felt like Neil was trying to say that Andre Kuzmenko should be the odd man out in this roster right now, which is a bit of a head scratcher. I think he was kind of hybriding that with down the road, but anyway. Also felt like he should, anyway, lots of reaction to that. Lots of people didn't love some of those thoughts from Neil. This says, how about we make him feel more welcome and let him develop the relationships he obviously has chemistry with? I bet we see more consistency from Kuzmenko this year. This says from our buddy Mick, Kuzmenko has great skill and character and will lead the Flames in scoring. He's only 28 and has KHL miles. He's trying to learn the defensive end. That comes from Mick. He says, extend Kuzmenko. Mick also writes, I have serious concerns with some decisions being made. First, there's no way for the future good of the franchise that Pelche should go on waivers and Rooney gets a spot. Where is Rooney going to be next year, not to mention 3 years from now, compared to Pelche? Second, why is Zeri not playing center? For the future good, Zeri needs to be groomed for center. It's the biggest weakness the Flames have. Rooney is not the future. Third, last year after the preseason, I wanted Coronado to go down and dominate with the Wranglers. He eventually did and now deserves a roster spot. On the other hand, it sounds like Hanzek's getting a spot. While Coronado last year, Hanzek needs to play with the Wranglers first. Fourth, why are the Flames signing 33-year-old D-man Barry and Tenorti, jamming up playing time for the 6 kids with the Wranglers, giving the Wranglers 9 D-men? That comes from Mick. This says, Kuzmenko, odd man out, LOL. Trade him right on over to my Oilers, please, and trade him to my team now before his stock inevitably goes up. This says, the preseason was our Stanley Cup. Now we suffer for 82 games. Anybody but Edmonton. That comes from Randy from Tom Hill. This says from Aaron, Pat, let's be honest, Anderson's shot blows wide of the net more than any other blue liner I've seen. I don't know, man. I actually think that Anderson's got a pretty accurate shot. And I mean, he got 7 on net tonight. He had 11 attempts or 12 attempts, got 7 on net. I'll take that from a long-range shooter. This says from, who's this from? This is from Murray in the Ranchlands. Murray writes, Pat, it's the first time in the Flames' history that we've seen a rebuild, and I couldn't be more excited to see which young players emerge. Hanzek deserves to start with the big club, but I think we'll benefit from fine-tuning in the minors in a few weeks. I think the Flames will be an exciting, hard-working team that'll be fun to cheer for, but I'm still hoping for a high draft pick at the end of the year. That comes from Murray in the Ranchlands. This comes from Dale, who says Cooley was the best goaltender. Honestly, Dale, it was so close that I said it was Wolf. Like, I think Wolf was the best body of work. I could easily see why you say Cooley or somebody else say Vladar, because it really was that close a race, and it was a really, really tight goaltending battle, and I thought all three guys performed really, really well. Brad in Bridgeland says, fun end of the preseason, even in a losing effort. I like the way the Flames played tonight. I'll keep it short and ask about what your thoughts of Klapka were and the rest of the fourth line. Their advanced stats seemed to indicate they had a less than average game, but watching them tonight, they were banging around and caused a few turnovers as well. I didn't think that they were incredible tonight. I didn't think they were bad either. They spent maybe a little bit too much time in their own end, but started most of their shifts in their own end. The thing about that line, if it's together, is that it's going to be an identity line. It's going to be a line that is physical. It's going to be a line that is all about energy and those types of things. So, you know, they ended up playing 7 minutes and 43 seconds together at 5-on-5. I think you know what to expect from a line with Klapka, Rooney, and Lomberg on it. And if they want to use that as a fourth line for a good chunk of the year, I think at the very least you're going to have a pretty good idea as to what the identity of that line is. This says from Theo, compete was great tonight. Love the third period. Opinions on Pospisil at center tonight. So Pospisil finished 7 for 13 in the faceoff dot, so a little over 50%. I'm still not sure on Pospisil at center, period. Not even just tonight. I thought that line actually played pretty decently. They were on the ice for a lot of time in the offensive zone. I thought Huberdeau had some really nice stretches tonight. I thought Mantha was shooting it a lot tonight, which was nice to see. And I thought Pospisil didn't look completely out of place. However, the one thing that I really am, I guess, slightly, I don't even know if the word concern is the right word, but one shot, three attempts for Pospisil. He did lay that big hit, but I still am not convinced, and not to say that I can't be convinced, it's just it's been a very small sample size. I'm still at this point not convinced that Pospisil is able to be as effective a player and as kind of a needle mover as much at center as he has been on the wing. And the other thing is, I'm not convinced as of yet that he's a better option down the middle long term than Connor Zeri is. Now, I'm not saying that I couldn't be convinced or that it's a guarantee that these things aren't the case. It's just that I want to see more of it, and I'm still not sure how it's going to go. So, and I'm still not sure if it is the right long-term fit or not. I remain very intrigued by it, though. I continue to be very intrigued by the idea of Pospisil as that center iceman that can drive the middle to help a guy like Huberdeau and then a real pure shooter like Mantha on that line. Like, I still think, in theory, there's a lot that makes sense with that trio. I know how intrigued and interested and excited the Flames are, from Craig Conroy to Ryan Huska, about that potential trio and what it could be and how it might be able to kickstart Huberdeau unlike anything we've seen as a member of the Flames. So I think it's worth seeing more of, but I'm still not convinced yet that it's the right fit, but I'm quite interested to see if it does turn out to be the right fit. This one from Trent in BC, who says, Hanzek being able to play any game situations and succeed doing it gives him more value to the team, makes it harder to send him down. We shall see what the final cuts look like. Bring on the regular season. I do think that Hanzek will be on the opening night roster. I would be stunned if he's not. I think he's... Right, the Flames are looking at it as if, you know, he's kind of needed to play himself off the roster. And they've been thinking that way for a little bit now. And Hanzek didn't play himself off the roster tonight. So I think he's on. I think he should be on. I think he will be on. Tonight he played 14:28. That included 3:21 of power play time and 68 seconds of penalty kill time. Would have been more PK time, but they only had to kill the two penalties tonight. This says, Pospisil, Kadri, and Kuzmenko have to be kept together. It's one of the only lines that has chemistry. And this says, can Conroy pry Robertson out of Toronto for Pelche? That comes from 40 in Fort Sask. If that was a deal that was realistic, I think a deal like that would have been made already. I would be quite confident that, knowing the situation, that Craig Conroy has had talks with other teams. I don't know which teams he would have had talks with or anything like that, but you can bet that, you know, in a situation like this when you're jammed up, you make calls just to see what's going on, and you also make calls because it can give you a little bit of an idea as to who may or may not be interested. If you do have to put a player on waivers, you might be able to gauge the atmosphere a little bit as well. So I would think that Craig has had conversations or has made calls to see if there is any interest on Pelche, but this reminds me so much of the Valimaki situation a number of years back where it was similar. The Flames were jammed up. A guy was waiver eligible for the first time, and Brad Treliving at that point tried to see if there were any biters, and Arizona, for instance, was one of the teams, now Utah, but at the time, Arizona was one of the teams that was interested in Valimaki, but why would they trade for him at that time of year when they know there's a good chance he's going to hit waivers and they can get him for free? And so that could be something that a team like Calgary would run into with a guy like Pelche. This is not the time to be making trades with guys that you have big decisions on, because other GMs aren't dumb. They also know what's going on. So, no, I don't think, at least right now, a trade for Nick Robertson out of Toronto for Pelche would be very realistic. Great stuff on the text line at 960-960. Appreciate all the texts, as always, as we start to move towards the end of our Flames Talk postgame show on this preseason Friday. The preseason's over, my friends. It ends with a Flames 3-2 loss to the Winnipeg Jets. This is how we got to tonight's final score. It's time for our final summary. The Jets never trailed in this game, as Winnipeg opened the scoring at 14:49 of the first period. Nino Niederreiter scores his third of the preseason to make it 1-0. Niederreiter from Mason Appleton and Hayden Fleury, and then they'd add one more in the second period. Colin Miller from the point to make it 2-0. Miller's third of the preseason from Rasmus Kupari at 15:59, and Winnipeg held a 2-0 lead after 40 minutes of play. To the third period we go, where the Flames turned on the heat and they get on the scoreboard 64 seconds in. Jonathan Huberdeau, nice redirect to make it 2-1. Huberdeau picks up his first of the preseason from Daniil Miromanov and Anthony Mantha at the 104 mark. And then a little more than 3 minutes later, Michael Backlund redirects home the equalizer. Backlund's first of the preseason from Kevin Ball at 4:27. And just like that, we had a 2-2 tie. It would remain 2-2 for most of the rest of the third period until Kyle Connor, on kind of a scramble play with lost coverage off a faceoff, puts the Jets back out in front with just over 3 minutes to go. Connor's third of the preseason, unassisted at 16:51, makes it 3-2. That would end up being your winning goal, because 3-2 ends up being your final score. Final shots were 33-17 in favor of Calgary. Flames go 0-for-5 on the power play. Winnipeg 0-for-2 with the man advantage. Your three stars tonight: number three was Kyle Connor, number two was Nazem Kadri, and your number one star tonight was Nino Niederreiter. With the loss, Calgary wraps up their preseason with a 5-2-1 record. They are back in action Wednesday on the road in Vancouver to open up the regular season. As for Winnipeg, they wrap up their preseason with a win and wrap up 3-2-1. They open up their regular season Wednesday on the road in Edmonton. Now that will wrap us up on our final summary. And now, for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, for our on-site engineers Tim Khalil and Evan Cody, for our reporter Maddie Rose, and for our outstanding producer Connor Gronsdahl, my name is Pat Steinberg. That will wrap us up on our Flames Talk postgame show, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Next up, for the Flames, it's finally here. The start of the regular season, Wednesday night in Vancouver. The Flames will visit the Vancouver Canucks for an 8 o'clock faceoff, which means we'll be on the air at 7 o'clock with your Calgary Flames warm-up. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your weekend. Let's get ready for the regular season, friends. Your final score in the preseason finale: the Flames fall 3-2 to the Winnipeg Jets here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. This has been your Flames Talk postgame show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.